Yeah, they couldn't miss last night, so that wouldn't surprise me. I'm sure there are still some Wildcats out there in Texas knocking down some shots somewhere. But let's start with the high school level. Let's just run over some things that we may have missed from Scott City. I know we were off for an extended period of time there, an opportunity for some things to happen. Athletics obviously not really taking full swing, but maybe some news and notes. I know some updates from the Shrine Bowl as well.
Yeah, that is correct. Jace Thomas is selected as a member of the West squad for the Shrine Bowl on Sunday morning there. And congratulations. I mean, it's been 3 years since Scott City's had a representative on the Shrine Bowl squad. And it's a school that's had over 30 Shrine Bowl selections over the course of the 50-year history. And so add another one to what has been a pretty good tradition of getting somebody on the Shrine Bowl. And very well deserving for that honor is the senior Jace Thomas.
We can certainly, finally just kind of cool it on the football news, I feel like, at least for the high school level. It seems like football may be the season that goes on the longest, because even here we are. I mean, we're in December, or excuse me, January. We were in December. It's a new year. We're in January now, and we're still getting football news, of course. Garden City's Jerry Ortega, the other notable member of the Shrine Bowl coming from our area. What else is going on, at least on the basketball side? Kind of give us a reset of where we're at before Scott City's back in action this week.
Yeah, they had a really tough outing, final couple outings before the Christmas break there against a couple of quality programs from Colby and Goodland. And their last games, the girls just had a really tough start. And Goodland is so long, they have four or five players, at least 5'10 or taller, and that they play that 1-3-1 they love to trap, and it really hurt Scott City's girls in the first quarter. And then they got going a little bit in the second quarter, but then Goodland came out with a burst in the third quarter, and it was just too much to overcome. But a learning night for the Lady Beavers there. The Scott City boys, their last two outings have been tough. Colby and Goodland thought maybe be toward the top of the sub-state as favorites coming into the year, and they definitely played that way. And Scott City just could not get over the hump against Goodland. They had it to within four in that second half, just could not get any closer, just a rough shooting night. And give credit to Goodland. That's an improved team from a year ago. They're still pretty young, but, Scott City has also shown that they can play with some of those good teams like Colby and Goodland as well. And it's going to be a pretty tough test coming up on Friday for both the boys and girls. And there's no off nights in the GWAC, that's for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully these games for Scott City, despite, you know, some of the times the physicality and how hard the conference can be, will help them not only in the conference, but when sub-state play draws even closer. I know we've been waiting to talk about it, but let's go ahead and flip it over to the college basketball world and talk about Kansas State, what they were able to do against Texas. I know as someone who covers Kansas State and a fan of Kansas State yourself, you're very excited about this. And we've had conversations about where this team can go. Really zero expectations coming into the year. Obviously picked to finish last in the Big 12. But it just felt like, despite, you know, I know some of the lower tier competition they were playing in the non-conference, there was a lot to like. And they looked impressive. They looked as a unit, especially with a lot of transfers coming over. And then last night, really kind of the cherry on top that brought all that together. What did you see kind of from this team leading to this point, and then obviously this game last night?
If you had told me coming into last night that K-State would put up 116 points, I would have thought that's crazy. Maybe in two games combined, after how rough it was a start against West Virginia. They were down 17-3 against West Virginia and came back and won in overtime. But I just thought K-State did a great job at pushing the pace. They played at Texas pace, and then they went to another level, and they just pushed it back and forth. And I thought it was smart about 8 minutes ago. They decided to slow the pace down a little bit and make Texas come out and guard you. K-State was still hitting their shots. And, you know, it wasn't that they were all bad shots. They were all high percentage shots, really, for both teams in the game. And so that's what made it electric. And Texas is just, they're a pretty good team there. But K-State, I thought, you know, Marquise Noel, he's the one that kind of stirs everything for Kansas State. And then Keontae Johnson. But I thought really, the unsung hero is Cam Carter. He's been big for them, and if he can step up big, this team is a pretty tough out.
Yeah, they've really put together a nice little unit there. Jerome Tang pushing all the right buttons in his first year, and you felt like it wouldn't be I guess, a traditional transition, right, with Tang, because he's had that experience at Baylor. He knows the Big 12 very well. And for me, when that hire went through, I didn't see that lull that we might still see, right? We might still see a 3 or 4 game stretch where K-State just can't figure it out. But you just had to think that they would be competitive no matter who was out there on the court for the Wildcats because of the coaching experience and the familiarity with the conference.
Oh, absolutely there. And he pretty much said from day one that he wanted to win right now, and he wasn't concerned about a rebuild. He wanted to win. He went out and got some dudes that can play Big 12 basketball. And what actually made this more impressive last night is K-State did it without one of their starting centers there, David Gonzalez. He was been out for the last 2 games with an injury, and they really through the second half only played 7 players. And you know, that's what he's been able to do, just energize. And Marquise Noel, he's the most improved player I've seen in a while, from last year to this year. He just kind of fits his system, despite, you know, what Tate wants to have in a point guard not being 6 foot. He wants to have those bigger guards, but what an improvement there for Noel.
Yeah, and after the win for Kansas State, they jump up 14 spots in the KenPom rankings. Derek set up to 31. That makes it now every single Big 12 team is ranked inside the KenPom top 40. There are NCAA tournament wins out there, or at least resume-building wins the rest of the way, not only for the Wildcats, but everybody in the Big 12. I want to talk about your thoughts on an AP top 25 spot. Obviously, they still have Baylor before the next rankings are released on Monday. Win or lose against Baylor, do you think the 2 wins are enough to garner enough national attention to throw K-State in the top 25?
Oh, man. I'd say after last night, yes. I was on the fence going in to last night's game, but the way that they played at a number 6 team home court and giving them their first loss in that brand new arena, you know, I'd say yes. And it's, you know, it's hard to say what will happen with Baylor on Saturday. Baylor, I think they're going to get some of their guys back that they had been missing earlier in the conference slate here last week. But I think that they are deserving, or at least right around that border. They're right now ranked 30th. I guess you count how many spots they are with the receiving votes, but I think this is a top 25 caliber team right now.
I certainly think so, and with a win against Baylor on the road, you would almost have to throw them in at the top 25. I mean, that's arguably, after 3 wins over top 25 teams, that'd probably be the most impressive 3-game stretch of any team we've seen so far this season. Adam, it's going to be a lot of fun. It really will be in Manhattan, and not only in Manhattan and Lawrence, just like we saw in football, both the 2 teams in the state getting a great start in conference play, and certainly can't wait for the matchups this season between those 2. Should be a lot of fun, renew the rivalry just a little bit, and all good things for Kansas State basketball moving forward, and it should be a lot of fun. We do appreciate you joining us, Adam, so much. What do you got going on this week? Go ahead and throw it out there for us.
Yeah, sure. Of course, coming up on Friday, Scott City will be at Hugoton. They'll be taking on the Eagles, and it should be a pretty competitive girls game. I know Hugoton still does not have the Hamlin girl. I think they're expecting Mikan to be back by late January, possibly, which will be big for Hugoton if they want to try to make a push to the state tournament in Class 4A. Hugoton's boys, that's record. Yeah, they may be 4-2, but it's deceiving. They've lost a pretty big high classification competition, and they're going to be a tough one for Scott City. That's a very good Hugoton team, and they dismantled Liberal right before the Christmas break.
Certainly, Adam. We do appreciate the time. As always, we'll chat with you next Wednesday, and have a great weekend. Enjoy some basketball, and fingers crossed K-State keeps on keeping on for you.
All right, will do. Thank you.
That is Mr. Adam Kadavy coming over from Scott City. We talk to Adam every Wednesday here on the Morning Roundup. We're going to take our final timeout. We'll get you back, and when we do, we're going to talk Dodge City basketball, recapping last night's split from the men and women, and then we'll get you set for tonight's junior college basketball action before sending you out on a Wednesday edition of the Morning Roundup. We'll be back in a few minutes right here from the Garden City Studios, the KW Care Studios in Garden City.